Well, good day. Hope you're doing well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange with Jefferson Public Radio and NAMI Southern Oregon. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Oregon. And when we talk about health, we can't discuss complete health without talking about our mental health. So on this program, we highlight mental health issues in our community and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Today, we're discussing the Fighting Fires Together campaign around mental health issues and mental health resources for wildland forest fighters. We have with us Dylan Johnson, a Weyerhaeuser forester at Springfield, and Jeff Dill, founder and CEO of Firefighters Behavior Health Alliance. So welcome to the program, and thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Andra. I'm honored to be on the show.
Great. Yeah, thank you for having us.
You bet. So wildfire season's coming up, and we are all critically aware of how dependent we are on firefighters that fight those fires for us. So Jeff, Weyerhaeuser has started a raising awareness about the particular mental health challenges facing wildland firefighters. How did you get involved with this work?
Well, it's amazing because we're all put on a path and we just really don't understand where that path goes, but we just do it. So I started as a volunteer firefighter in the Chicagoland area back in 1990s, and I got 34 years in, and it all started because of Hurricane Katrina for me on the behavioral health aspect and for my brothers and sisters in the first responder world. So in 2010, we founded, my wife and I, Karen, we founded Firefighter Behavioral Health Alliance, FBHA, make it shorter and easier. So we founded FBHA, and so we started really talking and discussing about PTS, suicide, depression, anxiety. But more than that, we started to track and validate firefighter and EMS suicides.
Okay. And so this was probably something that these issues were probably something that maybe were already there, or is this something that you were noticing an increase with?
No, they were already there. There's no doubt about it, but we just never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2010, when we started talking about it, we actually got beat up. We got a lot of emails saying PTS is a military issue,
right.
Suicides, you're making up the numbers. And it's what I call cultural brainwashing, because, Andra, if I asked you, when you hear the term firefighter, what words would come to your mind?
Right. Well, we know kind of like rescuer, strong, you know, dependable, people you can count on, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And every time we put this uniform on, that's what's expected of us, to be strong, give help, don't ask for help. Don't mm-hmm. show any weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're struggling, whether on the job or in your personal life, and you're held to that standard by your brothers and sisters, society, it's very difficult to then ask for help. And mm-hmm. our wildland firefighters, they're different than structural. I'm a structural firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
Wildland firefighters, they have a completely different set of issues that they need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, because we track wildland firefighter suicides. And so those numbers they're scary out there.
Right.
A lot of people know about the military, they know mm-hmm. about police, but they don't know about fire and EMS. The amount of our brothers and yeah. sisters that are taking their lives. And that is scary. So when mm-hmm. Weyerhaeuser said, hey, let's do this Fighting Fires Together program, I was on board.
And of course, we all sort of imagine just the strenuousness, the incredibly demanding, stressful job, both physically and mentally, I can imagine that firefighters have to face. But what are those particular challenges? What is there about wildland firefighting that is particularly, I don't know, problematic or can cause such a stress? What is it about that job?
Well, it's a lot. There's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, I make the statement that growing up, you know, I'm 62, so growing up in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you saw wildland firefighters. It was on the hillsides and the mountains
mm-hmm.
and a lot of trees.
Well,
mm-hmm. what we've done now is we've built communities in these trees and these hillsides and mountains. So now not only do they have the tremendous job of trying to stop wildland fires, and when you get a wind going through, mm-hmm. as Dylan can, I'm sure, attest, they'll fly 100 yards in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets caught in it. But now those wildland brothers and sisters, they're now fighting fires in people's homes, and they're seeing people in the communities die, and that adds that much stress.
Right.
So you start thinking about the post-traumatic stress. You start thinking about the relationship issues, the addictions, the anxiety, the stress. It all plays a part. And then the big difference, like I said, between structural and wildland is they go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're off for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. You're dealing with all that intense work. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, now you don't have a job. You have financing issues coming in. You have relationships because they were gone for so long. And this one thing that we really started looking into this past year or so is called moral injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that first responders struggle with more of moral injury than post-traumatic stress. So it's absolutely imperative, and we're learning more and more as we really start to dig in and understand behavioral health on wildland firefighters.
Right. Well, you are listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck of NAMI Southern Oregon, and we're speaking with Jeff Dill and Dylan Johnson. And so, Dylan, can you share with us some of your experiences, what your experiences as a firefighter were, and what particular challenges did you find?
Well, Jeff listed out a whole lot of facts and issues that I have faced in my past. I think the most difficult part was just being a seasonal employee and mm-hmm. knowing you had an end date once the fire season was over, and you're left jobless. You got to start looking for a job for the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
start already thinking about, are you going to have a spot next summer? Do you have to try to find a new crew? How are you going to pay the bills throughout the winter? It was very stressful, but also at the end of the season, it's a sigh of relief because you made it through a fire season. It's finally time to relax. It was a great job. I loved it, but also it took a toll on my body. Very strenuous work, 16 plus hours a day,
mm-hmm.
toting a chainsaw up and down hills and running a chainsaw all day long
mm-hmm.
can take a toll on your knees, back, hips, everything, you name it.
And I suppose it can have an impact on kind of your mental health too, because then you're having to deal with all the repercussions of all of that work. And I imagine the disparity between the stress and the intensity of the work season and then being off is probably, and it sounds like some of the insecurity around that too is really difficult.
Yes. The other aspect that brought a lot of stress was not having health insurance. As a temporary employee, I didn't have health insurance. And
okay.
that lasted for the entire time I was fighting fires.
Right.
So if anything were to happen, you're also thinking, like, how am I going to pay for a medical
mm-hmm.
bill if I have
right.
one?
Right.
I had asthma, so getting a rescue inhaler for while I was out there eating smoke all day and hiking up and down these hills, I paid out of pocket for it.
Well, those are some things that could be addressed. So, you know, we talk about in the mental health field, we talk about stigma being a strong factor for people when a mental health concern arises, and it makes most of us resistant to seeking help or treatment. How does this show up in the firefighting field?
I would say that everybody in the firefighting field, it's not spoken
mm-hmm.
about at
mm-hmm.
all. You could almost say there's a mentality of, like, the lack of a better phrase, like the macho mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We just get up and we do it. We don't talk about it. There's always been resources out there that
mm-hmm.
were available. I'd never heard about it until I was approached about this campaign that we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I've known people that I could have, you know, said, hey, there's resources out there if you need someone to talk to. You're out there every day with your brothers and sisters. You know, like Jeff said, you become a family because you're spending every waking minute with them. So if you're comfortable and able to talk to somebody, you have somebody to talk to. But more times than not, we were just trying to make it through the season.
And firefighting is becoming more critical, more common, and longer lasting. And it seems like there's almost need for some sort of support ongoing after a person is done with their service of their firefighting time.
I would agree. And another thing that played to me, like, I don't want to get into it too deep, but we were never called firefighters at in the federal level. We were forestry technicians. Our title was never a wildland firefighter. So that was also another thing that's something that needs to change. And I believe there is work being done on that.
Jeff, you mentioned about how PTS is often associated with veterans or people who have gone to war, but what are factors that contribute to the post-traumatic stress with firefighters?
Well, it's just when we start really looking at and defining post-traumatic stress, it can be different for so many different people. Because say we have two firefighters and they respond to a child drowning. Mm-hmm. Well, the one firefighter is overwhelmed because he has a child that's the same age and maybe same gender. So he struggles and he imagines that's his child mm-hmm. that is drowned. Whereas the other firefighter would say, oh, that's just awful. You know, it's just a bad call. And then the next call they go to, it is someone that's dying of cancer and they need to go into hospice or into the hospital. And maybe then that firefighter is losing a father to cancer. So all of a sudden now he's overwhelmed and dramatic, where the other firefighters say, oh, it's very sad that he has cancer. Mm-hmm. So each call can be different and affect people in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it shows up in so many different manners, from everything from addictions to anxiety to flashbacks to nightmares. And so understanding, there's a term that I coined many years ago, and it's called internal size up. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that we need to ask ourselves two questions every day. Why am I acting this way? Why am I feeling this way? Uh-huh. And the best thing that we can do is listen to others, because they see us better than we will ever see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we also have to listen to our bodies. Our body's telling us, hey, you're not sleeping. Mm-hmm. You're angry. You're getting angry very quickly. Or you've turned to some type of addiction. The stress and anxiety is causing so much problems in your life. And so that's why I say we it's different for everyone. So if someone's at a conference and they hear someone speaking about PTS, that person might say, well, that's not me. I don't have those issues. Mm-hmm. But you might have other ones. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to explain quick moral injury. So PTS is trauma-based, fear-based, mm-hmm. things we see and do. Moral injury is more, it affects our emotions mm-hmm. and the feelings of guilt and the feelings of helplessness. As wildland firefighters, they watch a forest burn and they've watched communities burn, and it's just helpless. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be here helping, protecting yeah. this property, saving lives, and it's not happening. So they're trained to do that, and yet they can't.
Right.
So all those start affecting emotions. And where we really found this takes place, and the reason why it takes place is because out of the 2,036 fire and EMS and dispatcher suicides I have validated, and I've personally spoken to about 2,000 chief officers to validate the data, the number one known reason why my brothers and sisters are taking their lives is due to relationships, mm. whether personal or work relationships. And that hits our emotions.
Right,
and
right.
So this moral injury is something that we really need to make sure that we take care of in our wildland firefighters. Because like Dylan said, they go home now. Right. And now that feeling of, oh, I've been betrayed. I have nothing to do. I don't have any job. I have no insurance. Mm. And that's one of the key aspects of moral injury is betrayal. Either betrayal by management, others, or ourselves.
Right.
And so moral injury is something very difficult. Organizations really need to pay attention to it and understand and providing those resources. And that's what Weyerhaeuser and FBHA has done. We're providing resources. Give us a call. Go onto their website and find those resources available to them.
So thank you very much for your time today, Jeff and Dylan. We really appreciate you joining us on the program and sharing about the Fighting Fires Together campaign. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI Southern Oregon. Please find more information about NAMI Southern Oregon at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or email us at info@namisouthernoregon.org. This is Mental Health Matters. Thanks for joining us. You can find this and other interviews at jeffexchange.org or subscribe to this podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.